Our region's notable outdoor bounty does not require a high skill set. You can enjoy the outdoors without boats or bikes just by taking a walk. Trails abound, and our guest this hour put together a collection of them. Jim Falkenstein is a video producer and now an author. He combines his skills and his media in a new book that puts his website between covers. The website is ashlandtrails.com, so big surprise, the book is ashlandtrails.com, the book. Jim Falkenstein, thanks so much for joining us.
Jeffrey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Appreciate it. Jeff, the weather person called you Jeff, and you call yourself Jeffrey. What do you go for?
Either one's fine.
Okay, there you go.
I'm not picky about that. So your websites, plural, yield a bunch of videos, including a cable access series called Let's Take This Outside. There's the other one I noticed called The 5-Minute Meeting, where you recreate an Ashland City Council meeting in 5 minutes.
So yes, I do.
Tell us about yourself.
I moved here about eight, nine years ago, right around there, from Los Angeles. But I've been coming here for 25 years. My wife and I, and my kids, we love this town. We love just this town. Only no other towns, just Ashland. No, I'm kidding. The whole region's fantastic. So, been coming here forever, and we're used to working the TV business a little bit. Now I still mess around with my camera, and I was always looking for trails. And you go to a new town, and you tell people you're from not Oregon, and they don't always they're not as forthcoming about the trails that there are their favorites, because. You know, there's different, you know, everyone's got their favorite, their secret trail.
The one they keep it to themselves.
Right. Send them all to Bandersnatch, and then, the rest of us will go to the cool trails. So I struggled for years trying to find the cool, and then I loved exploring, and then I found more trails, and I'm like, I got to write this one down. I'm going to put this one down. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a video of this trail and send it to my buddies. I had two buddies in town at first. And then, I can make a website. And then I could share it, and then it just kept exploding.
So were you always a hiker, or is this something that developed once you moved into the Rogue Valley?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I have a forestry degree. Mm-hmm. So I was a forester for a number of years right out of college. And I actually worked outside of Corvallis one summer for the Forest Service as a contractor. I wasn't cool enough to be in the Forest Service. I was below them.
So,
when you're a contractor for the Forest Service, you can't actually stay in a cabin or even their campsites. We had to sleep in our trucks out in wherever it was. And we weren't even allowed to go in and pay for showers, quote unquote, you're supposed to. So we had to, being a contractor for the Forest Service. This was back in the day, 30 years ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was, I guess I was living in my truck. I guess kind of homeless. Not really, had a job, but so I was always hiking and running trails. I like running. Mm-hmm. So I like running trails. I'm not a fast runner. So I think that just means I'm going to live longer. I think the fast ones, they're going to fall off of something, cliffs and such. Slow ones like me, I think we're going to last longer.
Speed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you find that no one else had done a comprehensive collection of info on Ashland area trails? I mean, was this part of the reason you mentioned the people keeping the trails to themselves?
Yeah, I think, that's 100% true. And this was 10 years ago when I was really, scrambling to find the trails aside from the main ones. And at that point, there weren't that many maps. The city had their one handout map. And what I did was you go online and all of the apps weren't quite up to date yet. The Hike Speak and the All Trails and all those weren't really rolling yet. And I went to the AWTA, Ashland Wildlands and Trails Association. Those guys, they build a bunch of trails, and they've got a website. And it's more of a volunteer group to build trails and find routes. And I went to their website, and they're not mapping. They're not trying to spread too far out. And I went, all right, I gotta do this myself. I'm going to start this up. But now the local maps have really caught up. The city map's really pretty good. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other really good maps. But I've already started my little crazy video map thing, and so now I'm just still doing it.
So let's talk about the videos then, because here's a sample from one of the video clips accessible at the website and through the book. This is from a fell on knee trail when it was so new the signs were not permanent yet.
All right, it's a new trail. They don't have the new signs up yet. Pay attention. The Lewis Loop sign turned into Lewis Loops. This sign could turn into fell on both knees trail, or knee trail of many fallen knees, or fell on face then knees trail. I don't know. It's exciting. We'll look forward to what the new sign will be.
Did you fall on any particular body parts that day?
I try to fall at least 2 or 3 times per trail, because that means you're enjoying all aspects of the trail, which means cutting off the trail a little bit, which you're not supposed to do. Never do that. Always stay on trail.
Okay. I mean, no corner cutting, because you want to make sure you're
absolutely
being nice to the environment
around. I would never, ever follow a deer trail off looking for something that looked cool. Never.
Never. So what led to the idea of taking the videos and being able to access them from the book?
I don't know. How did I decide to do that? Well, here's, you know what? I wanted to make an app, right? I didn't know how to make an app. And apparently, if you ask somebody to make an app for you, they want lots of money. And I'm like, I don't want to give you a lot of money to make an app, which I don't even know if I want to do. I have apps on my phone from all the old trails and all the various Gaias and all, and I don't use them. Because then you go outside and you don't have reception, and you got to, you ever go hiking with somebody who's got an app on their phone? Or you go anywhere with somebody who has an app on their phone. The whole time, they're staring at their phone, telling you what their phone is telling them where you are. I'm like, going, I can look, I can see where I am. I'm right here. And so I'm like, how do I figure out how to get something in the book that connects to these trails, you know, connects to this website that I already had, the website.
Okay. So the QR codes, basically you scan the QR code in the book and it takes you right to the videos?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I've got, for each trail, there are three QR codes. One goes to a video of me showing you where to park. It's got some maps. And then we walk down the trail and you see what's what. Sometimes I bring my drone with me and we shoot a big, cool shot. And then the next QR code is the Google map, which I've, you know, just cobbled together. And then the next one is the web page itself, which has more text, more photos, the map and everything else, and connects you to the website.
All right. So in essence, the book is sort of like the Cliff's Notes to the website?
Yeah. I mean, I just turned my website into a book, which is not as easy as I thought it was going to be, but it was still fun to do.
How long did you think it would take, and how long has it taken?
I think of myself as a genius, of course. I'm not short on believing in myself, but so overconfident, yes. Did I think it would take 2 months? Yes. Did it take 2 years? Yes. So.
2 years. Okay. And then Jim's book is called, Jim Falkenstein is the author. The book is called AshlandTrails.com, the book. Jim will be himself at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland tonight at 7 talking about the book, AshlandTrails.com, the book. And we will talk more about the book and videos and all the other accoutrements that come with it, because it's quite a little treasure trove of stuff here. You have taken all these journeys, including climbing Mount McLaughlin?
Yes, I've not cheated. Mm-hmm. I wanted to cheat. That's actually kind of why it took 2 years, because they were like, Mount McLaughlin was the last one, one of the last three I did for the book, because I'm like, oh, well, I got to do McLaughlin for the book. What am I, you know, I'm going to look like a child who wears the baby clothes. Right. If I don't do McLaughlin, you know, the mighty McLaugh, I call it. So did that. The concept is anything within an hour's drive of Ashland. And, you know, didn't want to be Ashland-centric, but that's where I started. So, I mean, that's the way it worked out. I mean, you know, some great trails, you know, all of Jacksonville and, of course, the Table Rocks, and you head up towards Crater Lake, and I had to stop after an hour. I mean, some trails are a little further than an hour, like the Bigfoot Trail. I think that's more than an hour. You get out there, Collins Mountain, or like...
Yeah, Mill Creek Falls, I think they said.
Mill Creek Falls, a little, I just drive faster, and then it'll take you an hour. So, but that was the goal, an hour from Ashland. So,
in addition to going there yourself, I mean, what else did you do to access information about each trail?
You know what? Here's the thing. My concept for the book, yeah, when you actually read the text of it, it's a little BS in there. I kind of exaggerate stories a little bit. There's no geological information. I don't think I have a single scientific name in the book. So there you go. You're welcome, Rogue Valley.
So you're not going to see Darlingtonia in there or something?
No. I just tell stories like, hey, that's cool. Looks like a bear was over there. I bet you if I were an elk, I would fight a bear in that field over there. And so,
this is the regular guy's hiking book.
Basically, yes. You're, like I say in my book, it's like going on a hike with your high school buddy instead of your college professor. Because a lot of books, there's like a guy's trying to impress you with how smart they are, and they go, "Oh, that's the Pontilius Contelio," and you know that was actually brought in. You're like going, "Yeah, are we going to go to the waterfall? Or are you going to talk about that bush?" And so you just want to go look for cool stuff that looks awesome, and then pretend something awesome had happened there. And then get back to the car without breaking something.
But even without pretending that something awesome happened, I mean, these are awesome places to look.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So you lived in the LA area previously,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I sure did. Yeah.
So were there places that when you were first visiting up here that made you go, you know, just took your breath away? It's like, oh wow, I gotta make sure I visit.
Oh yeah, again. I mean, let's say I think Pilot Rock was an early one where you're like going, oh, have you climbed the top of Pilot Rock and then you do that last little scramble.
Oomph up there, yeah.
Oomph up there. You're like, oh, this is great. I didn't have to know how to be a mountain climber, and I feel like I'm a mountain climber.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got buddies who rock climb for real, and they're like, that's not really rock climbing. I'm like, yeah, it is. Shut up.
There's one narrow passage you got to hoist yourself up. Yeah. So, but, you know, I want to point out, this is not just limited to hiking alone. Lay out the full suite of things.
That is a good point. There is also the mountain biking trails. Now, I'm not a huge mountain biker, but I enjoy it. I mean, I have a bike I bought at a police auction 7 years ago. And so, I've done all the mountain biking trails that are in this book, which are the basic ones. And apparently there's more and out on Wagner Creek that I don't know about. And there's some other ones. And you know what? It's not my total bag, but I enjoy it. So I've written all the mountain bike trails. So they're basically in there. Some of those trails are off the grid. Let's put it that way. Let's say that everyone knows about them, but they're not actually in any publications online unless you go to those crazy mountain bike websites that are just, you know, maniacs.
But these are all authorized trails though, right?
They are authorized trails, but they cut through a private section and then they come back out the other side. So people don't like to put them on the interwebs so much. So, and I was like, everyone knows these trails. And so I'm just, maybe I shouldn't, but it seems all right. According to, from what I've heard, and this is again part of my research, according to what I've heard, that the state of Oregon absolves all landowners from any kind of like liability if somebody crosses their land and breaks their neck. So I'm like, oh, well, there you go. It's not as long as no landowner gets sued for breaking anyone's neck. I think we can all figure out where that trail is.
Jim Falkenstein is giving us all the legal advice he's aware of, along with his knowledge of trails in the Rogue Valley. It's called AshlandTrails.com, the book, A Local Guide to Local Trails. Jim will be at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland tonight at 7, talking about the book. So how long did it take you to cover all the journeys on the website and in the book? And is everything from the website in the book?
Yes. No. Not everything in the website is in the book. There are some other activities. What else did I put in there? There's a couple of winter trails. I got a winter trail section, just you know, the basics, how to get to Buck Meadows and how to get to, you know, there's a Hyatt cross-country ski section up there. And so there's a couple other things that are just activities. Did I put the there's the rock quarry up there off of Keno Road there. Uh-huh. You know where that is? I don't think I put that in the book, but it's on the website. And there's a couple of things that aren't quote unquote trails, but they're still on the website. So I got a couple extra things on the website that aren't.
So over the course of doing the on the, this is really like on the ground research. I mean, how long did it take you to cover all these journeys?
I would say 4 years, you know, and there were like, you know, there's you know, the winters, I didn't hike as much because it was snowy. And it didn't do as much. So there's the ebb and flow to, like, sometimes you do 3 trails a week. And I, you know, it takes longer because I got my video camera and I set things up. And I'm by myself, by the way. So I set up my camera. Did you ever see that show Survivo Man? It was on, like, Nat Geo, I think, for a while. It was this guy who'd be dropped into the middle of nowhere and he'd survive for a week. But unlike Bear Grylls and all those other guys, he was his camera department. He didn't have like a crew following him.
So you had to put the camera on the tripod and then walk around in front of it.
And he spent half the show complaining about how heavy batteries were. So he'd set up a camera, and then as he'd walk by, he goes, you guys have no idea. I had to set that camera up. And so he's complaining. Half the survival show is him complaining about gear, and then the other half is eating worms or whatever he did.
Yeah, so. I'm really laughing this hard because of all the years I spent lugging around video cameras. And, you know, they weigh 25 pounds with the battery on. And then,
exactly.
Yeah. So do you have – you mentioned Pilot Rock already, but in addition to that, is there a favorite place to go again and again?
Is there a favorite place to go? You know what? I live near Fell on Knee up Hit Road. I live near there, and there's the ditch that goes along there. And then I like to cut up to like Fell on Knee, and there's a new Wonder Trail. And they're building AWTA, the Wildlands, are building a new Wonder Trail from the Ferry Ponds all the way up to the old new Wonder Trail. They built a new Wonder Trail 2 years ago, and now they're adding to it, and it's going to be like a 3-mile. It's gorgeous. And then that connects to Fell on Knee. So I like exploring and finding the new trails. Like, you can do the same trails because I run. I like trail running. So I run, like, you know, Red Queen's fun to run. But So I like exploring and finding another trail, which is why my wife doesn't hike with me, because she does not like exploring and finding a new trail. She just wants to get a workout, get to the top, turn around, come back.
Did the diversity of trails around here surprise you? I mean, if you know, when you look at just the trail, because we're here again, we're talking stuff that is either right in or right next to the boundaries of the city of Ashland.
Yeah.
Compared to like LA, I don't know.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, it's glorious. I mean, there's you got your view. You end up with a view almost every time, somehow, in a way, which is, but not every time, but some are better than others. But each view is spectacular. You know, whether you got and let's say like you're on the White Rabbit Trail and you get to the other side, facing the other direction of the valley, that's a whole different view than when you get onto the other side of the trail and you're facing another direction in a valley. And then when you get into the Applegate, like if you go up to like Collins Mountain stuff there, that's a whole different view. And if you go to Sterling Mine Ditch Trails, that whole Applegate Valley from up the, from all those trails, that's a whole different view. And then once in a while you'll roll along and then, oh, there's a waterfall I didn't even know was here. And by waterfall, I mean like it's like 8-foot waterfall. That's still a waterfall in my book. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So yeah.
Maybe you've had the same experience I've had in the Rogue Valley where you get up into a place and you look down, it's like, wait a minute, is that what that, wait a minute, am I looking at this? Is that what I think
yeah.
it is?
Yeah. Just a different perspective. Like, mm-hmm. you have like Roxanne Peak, you go up there and you walk around that and you're like, hey, I didn't know there was a horrifying-looking rock quarry down there with a bunch of
down the backside. Yeah.
So
we're talking to Jim Falkenstein about his book, AshlandTrails.com, the book, A Local Guide to Local Trails. It'll be at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland tonight at 7. You can join the conversation here on The Exchange now. Ask questions. Compare some notes about trails in the Ashland area and beyond. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We mentioned that some of these trails get well outside of Ashland, including Mill Creek Falls, which is up Highway 62 between the Rogue Valley and Crater Lake. And let's get this clip ready. Here's part of Jim's video take on that trail.
Mill Creek Falls is a great side trip on your way to Bend or on your way to Crater Lake, but it's not what you'd call a strenuous hike. This short trail is very well groomed. To say it's well groomed is an understatement. I give this trail 5 grandmas and 6 babies, because you can bring 5 grandmas and 6 babies and none of them will get injured or tired.
Which raises the question, is there any degree of difficulty cutoff in what you've done, places that you don't recommend because they are that strenuous?
Anything that Pilot Rock is like the end. Mm-hmm. I actually, at the end of that video, I say, you know, don't climb up here unless you're okay with, because that's, you know, I guess I didn't consciously figure that mm-hmm. out, but subconsciously I have, as far as the hiking goes, anything that requires hand over hand, I'm against that. But, you know, like you get to McLaughlin, you still got a little bit of that. But hopefully, and that's kind of what the video is about. Mm-hmm. The reason I put the videos up, and I think which helps people who are looking at a trail going, look at the map, you can look at the topography, you can look at the just a line drawing, and you kind of get it. You look at some photos, you kind of get it. The video gives the person an idea going, oh, that's a little bit more than I want to do. Mm-hmm. Or, ugh, that's a little bit dustier than I prefer. Or, I don't know if I want to be in the trees. You know, that one doesn't seem to have a view. I think that's my thought, is that the video gives you more of a sense of how hard the trail is and what you're going to experience and whether you decide, maybe not today.
Some sense of exposure to it that you can't get from just a map and a description and a still picture. Have there been some places where you've been let me ask about Mount McLaughlin in particular, because we talked about that could be fairly strenuous, done myself, but how did your knees feel coming down?
Down was the worst, isn't it?
Is it?
It's those last, because, well, the problem with that is, McLaughlin is, it's not like sometimes you go up a hill and it takes you half as long to come down the hill because it's nice and it's faster. You're not straining. Stupid McLaughlin, I don't know who built that stupid mountain. But I got a word to exchange with that person. The rocks are the wrong size in the middle of the path that you have to go around. They're all like the size of a raccoon. Like they're just too big to
step over.
Too big to step over, but too small to get around. I mean, it's just like you have to work your way back down. It takes just as long, and your knees are just blazing by the end. Yeah,
I do remember that. Yeah. Let me get another clip ready here, because this one will probably give fits to the management at Mount Ashland Ski Area. But it's an example of that Jim Falkenstein's sense of humor about Bull Gap Trail.
I'm here at the top of Mount Ashland almost. And thanks to global warming, it almost never snows up here anymore. So more mountain bike days, right? Thanks, global warming.
I should point out that the Bull Gap Trail, when there's snow, is also good for cross-country skiing. Is there any cross-country skiing trails in the book? Are there?
I do have that on the website, not in the book. Yes, I've got that Bull Gap, Buck Meadows, there's Hyatt Lake, there's a one, and then I got another one I did. It's kind of but I'm not, I'm not as much of a winter sports aficionado. Well, I'm not much of a mountain bike aficionado either, but it's fun to do. Even when you're terrible at it, it's still fun to go kick around outside. I mean, what was the one mountain bike trail that almost destroyed me was a Time Warp. You know, that one off the backside of at Mount Ashland. And that's,
is that a really steep downhill trail?
Yeah, it's long and rocky. It's got the rock gardens and the log offs or jumps or whatever mountain bike guys, gals seem to enjoy. And I did not enjoy. I get off my bike, all the time to go around whatever some other guy thinks is the best thing he's ever seen in his life.
So what is that like, though, for the folks who don't know mountain bike trails? And they're thinking, hey, this might be fun to take my mountain bike off the city streets and, actually go to a mountain once in a while. How different are the trails in width and in just general trail accoutrements?
I think there's a couple of great ones. Jabberwocky's right there off in the Alice in Wonderland kind of section off of Ashland Loop Road. And that's wonderful. It's just you got to work your way up. So it's the cardio that you require to get yourself to the top. And these mountain, your average mountain person says you got to earn it to come down it, right? I mean, or you can take the shuttle up. and you can pay for it. That's what I do. I mean,
You're saying that there's a code of ethics in mountain bike. You've got to be able to go up the hill before you come down the hill.
And I'm not real strong with that. I will admit I have an electric bicycle now. Oh, mountain bike. And so I sneak my way up the 2060 road on my electric bike because then there's a bunch of bikes up there, a bunch of cool, very cool trails up there, Horn Gappy kind of places. And so what I do is I take my electric bike up the main road, and then I take my battery off to come down the single track. Mm-hmm. And it's illegal, by the way, to ride your electric bike on those roads. So when I said I do that, I said I think maybe somebody has done that. Is what I meant to say, Your Honor. but there's a whole electric bike battle that's brewing because, there's so many electric bikes now and you can't even tell they're electric anymore because they've got the smallish battery.
Oh, really? What about the big hub? That's kind of an indicator, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but they've built them into the wheels, into the pedal thing. I don't know. You look at them, it's hard to see. You can figure it out if you want to. But.
So, you're surprised sometimes when you go explore these places, particularly if you haven't been up there before, but now you have in the general Ashland area. But how different the look can be on the land from what you saw on the map?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the map, the trees block the dirt. When you're from the sky, that's their job, is to block the dirt from the sky. I don't know. I made that up.
Block the sky from the dirt.
Either one or the other. But yeah, it's hard to know the severity of the grade. I mean, you can read if you do this a lot and you look at the elevation gain over time, blah blah blah. Yeah, you get it. But when you're actually on it, you can figure out. You go up to Wagner Butte if you've been up there, and then you're starting off and it's going, oh, this is taking this first part, the first mile or 2 miles is steeper than you think it is. And then after a while, you get used to the grade and it gets going. But
I specifically had a question about Wagner Butte because I've only gotten partway up that trail myself, where it's just like, well, it's not that, it's a big mountain. It's like almost as tall as Mount Ashland. We're getting there. It's like, well, where are we going now? And it looks like you're going away and then you come back toward it.
Yeah.
That trail goes on and on and on.
It does. And that's another thing. Like, I think my videos paint that out. Is that you realize this is 3 miles, and at 3 miles, I walk up to my camera that I set up, and I'm a sweaty guy. I sweat pretty profusely, pretty quickly. I'm sweating right now. And so at mile three, I set up my camera, and you get to the intersection, and I sweat my way up to the camera, and I'm like, whoof, man, that was some work. So, hope you don't have a heart condition, because you're gonna, that's kind of where it goes. That's the way I think it works out as far as the videos make.
Jim Falkenstein is the guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is about Ashland Trails. It is the continuation of his website into the pages of a book, ashlandtrails.com, the book, a local guide to local trails. And we'll get into some of the specific trails that he talks about, because there's a whole bunch, and some of them are about an hour or more away from Ashland itself. We'll come back and talk about the book, the trails, the way the book works, and any input from you that you'd like to deliver by phone and email. We talked about hiking trails. We've talked about mountain biking trails. Are there some places where trail uses conflict? I mean, are there places where hikers have to watch out for bikers?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's the classic at the end of Bandersnatch there. That is the ground zero for biker-hiker battle or, you know, discontent. Because, you know, in my theory is mountain bikers, they're awesome. They're having a great time. They're blazing through. But, you know, their heads rattle. Their brains kind of get knocked around inside their helmets as they're, you know, jumping over logs and hitting rocks. So, you know, their eyes are glazed over by the time they get to the bottom of a hill, and they're going pretty quick. And then you get to that bottom of Jabberwocky or
Bandersnatch?
BTI, yes. Mm-hmm. And there's Snark and Waterline. There's a little congregation of all trails. And so bikes come blazing down there, and you know, grandma's walking the dog and carrying her new baby. I don't know if grandmas can have babies. Sure, why not? So they're coming up, and you know, I think everyone's a good person in general. I mean, they want to be, but you know, sometimes you forget to be a good person, and the mountain biker's coming a little fast. And then sometimes grandma's got a 10-foot leash on the dog, and that crosses the trail, and they're not paying attention. So, you know, you get those two meeting up. It doesn't end well for anybody, mostly the little dog.
Do you have some elements of trail etiquette in your book?
I have a basic trail etiquette in here. What do I say? I got the basics. You know, there's that triangle. There's a triangle, you know, like with a horse, mm-hmm. and a mountain bike and a hiker,
uh-huh.
and the horse has can do what it wants. Everyone has to get out of its way, which makes sense because if you've seen a big horse, they're big, they're not like little horses. Mm-hmm. And then the mountain biker has to get out of everyone's way, and then the hiker has to like get out of the way of the horse, but the mountain biker. It has to get out of the way of the hiker.
Oh, there it is.
The trail courtesy on page 11 there. So that's like an interesting, a basic thing. I talk about how to behave and what to bring. And you know, you got some pet peeves of mine, you know, which is people listening to their music on the trail, mm-hmm. on a speaker around their neck or whatever it is. And, you know, they're playing some Bruno Mars or whatever they think is awesome. And you're like going, you know what? I'm outside. I just don't want to hear any music or your music. I personally don't like to even have headphones in or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I know some people can do that. That's fine. But don't put your music on your chest and play it out for people like you're doing a music video. And you know, this being Ashland, here's a beauty. It was a couple months ago. I'm hiking up Hit Road and trail. And somebody comes along with their thing on their chest listening out loud to NPR. You know, it wasn't even some kid playing Metallica. It was some middle-aged Ashland person blasting NPR into the woods. I'm like, well, that's just as bad.
Wait, what time of day was that?
I don't know.
Was it between 8 and 10 in the morning?
It could have been. Maybe it was your voice that was annoying me.
Okay, so let me just say, don't blast us out loud. But so some ideas of trail etiquette there. Let me take a phone call here from John in Ashland.
Oh.
Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jim Falkenstein, the author of AshlandTrails.com, the book.
My name is John. I'm here in Ashland.
Hi, John.
Hi. I just when you're talking about Mount A and Bull Gap, and I was a mountain bike guy. I'm getting kind of old now, but for my birthday on December 10th, I decided to ride up to Mount A, even though it was closed and snowy up there. Mm-hmm. And I ended up carrying the bike on my shoulders the last from about Bull Gap up. Went up there. I had two sandwiches in my pack, and went up there. There was two ravens up there, and they were looking at me, and I'm looking at them. And I'm eating my sandwich, and I take part of the sandwich and just throw it over in the parking lot there. You know, I'm just talking about trail trips, you know. Obviously, I'm not climbing Everest, you know. So I thought I'd just throw that out there just for fun. I might see you later at Bloomsbury.
Okay, so did the ravens take the sandwich?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, they were hungry. It was snow. It was hard. You know, there was nobody in the parking lot but me and the two Ravens.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing the story with us, Jim. That is fun. John. Sorry. But, so having to carry the bike up through the snow, that's
pretty funny. Yeah, you know, I tell you what, John, when you find out it's just you and two Ravens somewhere, you're probably in the wrong place. If you're especially in a parking lot up there, man, they're like, oh, we should not be here. But Ravens, I think, are the best. I'm a big fan of Ravens. Aren't they a sign of good luck? For some cultures, I think, is the Ravens.
Well, I always thought they were a sign of the afterlife or something. But
I'll
have to look it up here.
Yeah, once again, I do my own research, which is I just kind of think about it for a little bit, and I go, I think they're good luck. I think somebody told me once they're good luck, and so research done.
So, okay. Raven, symbol of death with some cultures. But
what you get for looking things up.
I know. I got to stop doing that. Yeah, keep me off Wikipedia. let's talk about the wildlife you've seen, though.
I mean,
Have you seen a bunch in your various journeys?
You know what? The trails aren't, as they should be, are devoid of most wildlife, unlike, you know, Lithia Park, where you got deers and bears dancing and frolicking about and such. I've seen, like, I live near, like, an open-air area, so I get a bunch of, I've seen the wildlife in my neighborhood more than on the trails. But the only thing I haven't seen I've seen all the bears and the things and the turkeys and the deer and the bucks and I haven't seen a cougar.
I've not seen a cougar.
I mean, I'm married a cougar. I mean, don't get me wrong. My wife Beth, shout out to her. She's a different kind of cougar, though.
I don't. All right. So, but boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
I can hear you doing the rim shot with your feet there. Are there places you hesitate to publicize for fear that they might get too many visitors?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I still put them. There's some that I put on the originally. It was like 4 years ago, one trail I found. I'm like, no one would tell me where it was because I'm, you know, a blabbermouth that makes videos about trails. So people are like not telling me. I'm like, all right, now I want to find it all the more. And some people who know me and know the website will know which trail I'm talking about. But so I'm like, okay, I looked, I did all the research. I Google mapped for days and I drove through Forest Service roads a couple of weekends looking for this so-called secret trail. And I found it. And I'm like, yeah, I knew I could find it. I don't need you people to tell me. And then once I found it, I made a video of it. I put it on. This is a huge mistake. Never post on Ashland Peeps. Oh, my God. I posted it on Ashland Peeps. People were not happy. They were not happy about that. How dare you?
Ashland Peeps on the
Facebook page. Yeah. Yes. They were not happy about that. I was banned from the site for an hour, for a couple of days there. And I was told to apologize. I'm like, oh my God, okay, fine. I'm not going to not put that on my website.
You got banned from the site. You got actually.
Well,
you got banned from.
Well, people start saying angry. If you say something too controversial and more than four people write back on the Facebook page, you're a jerk, and I'm angry at you. And then they go longer. Then the moderator just shuts it all off and says, okay, everyone stop. This has got an end. And then they give you like a day cooling off period and say, like, okay, just get on there and make everyone calm down a little bit. So I got back on again. And I realized I'll still make the video and I'll still put it on my website, but I'm not going to go out of my way to publicize a trail that, you know, is – it exists. It's not like somebody's yard, you know, like go into Tom's backyard and then take the trail over to Frank's backyard and then go down to Karen's backyard. I mean, I would never do that one.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a trail that exists and it's in BLM land or wherever it is and if people know of it, I mean, I think most people are nice. And here's the thing. This is I got into the kerfuffle there at the Ashland Canal, right? Because I'm pro keep the canal open, not pipe. I'm no pipe guy. And so I'm on that side. And so a lot of the neighbors who live there have kind of like kept it a secret-ish that they've got this little canal. They don't like spread it around. They've got this cool trail canal backyard thing. So when it comes time and the city goes, we're going to pipe it, they're like, oh, let's rally the troops around our – I'm like, the troops are you 80 people because you're not sharing the trail with enough people. I think the more people that know about a trail, the more likely they'll be able to save that trail when it comes under – attack, or the BLM wants to sell a tract of land somewhere up on the off of Green Springs or something, and it goes through a trail that we all, if only 10 people know about it, there'll be 10 people complaining, and then that trail gets taken away. And I think if 100 people know about it, then you might get 100 people complaining, and then maybe we'll save the trail.
That Green Spring story sounds very specific. Is that something that happened where the
No. It's just you go up into the Green Springs just heads up into what the Siskiyou Mountain Wilderness Monument,
Soda
whatever
Mountain it is, Wilderness, Soda Mountain Wilderness, and the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument.
Yeah. And so, as with you know anything, you know, if you get more people who know where something is mm-hmm. and you know fall in love with it and want to take care of it, then I mean, I err on that side. I understand the idea of like fewer people, less. You know, less trash, less likely to be vandalized. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's true, but I think it's more likely that most people are going to be good. And you should, and let's face it, we should spread out a little bit. You know, 900 people on Vandersnatch, and nobody's going up to, you know, these other little, you know, little Hyatt Lake. It's got, you know, mm-hmm. you get that little chunk of trail up there off the PCT. I mean, there's nobody up there.
Have you found some places that have been loved a bit too much, that have shown some signs of abuse and
you know what?
Trash strewing and things like that?
You know what used to be bad was Acid Castles.
Mm-hmm.
You know where those are?
Before up in, the city, up in Northwest Ashland. Yeah.
Yeah. Before the city bought that property, which was recently, mm-hmm. it was trashed because it was not on a map. Mm-hmm. No one was taking it. I don't know who owned it or whatever it was. It was cool.
It always seemed like the high school kids knew about it before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So it was, but it was filthy. There's broken bottles and there's fires and, you know, half a sleeping bag and
graffiti on
yeah,
the house.
Oh, the whole thing. So once the city got it and took care of it, put it on, it's now, you know, listed on their map as a place to go. Now it's nice. So there's that. You think of that. And one secret trail I was talking about before, last time I was out there, it was just scattered with, you know, spent 22 cartridges because somebody just went up there and was shooting. I don't believe anyone who read my book or saw my video went up there and started shooting stuff. I would hope.
You hope not.
I would hope not, but, you know.
Let's talk about some of the other specific trails here. Grizzly Peak Trail, that gets a lot of love, I noticed. There was one day we were going to go up there, and I was like, well, there's a lot of cars parked at this trail.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I do the same thing. I drive up there, and then I know another trail nearby that I go to if that one's not working. But you know, that's the way it should be, though, because that trail, it's an iconic trail. Everyone knows that one. And you get the view, and you can look every day. You can look out and see the top of Grizzly Peak and go, I want to go. Got to go. It calls you, right? It Grizzly does. Peak calls to you. You have to go.
Yeah. It's right out of our newsroom window now, too.
Is it?
Facility. Yeah.
I can't see it from
I'll show
oh,
it to you.
Newsroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to go. But they fixed that up a little bit. You know, they got the new bathroom there a couple years ago or whatever. And, you know, it's the way it's going to be. And you know what? Sometimes you want to go on a hike and see a bunch of people. Some people like knowing there's other people on the trail. And there's other trails you can take which are going to be, you know, emptier or, you know, a little harder, a little more Wagner Beauty, where there's going to be, well, there's still a lot of people on that one.
But less so than on Grizzly Peak, for example.
Less so. And that's what I would think is like some of these, I got the basics in the book and on the website, but I also tried to get the next level of trail that's a little bit, you know, even Collins Up Bigfoot Trail out there, Applegate,
mm-hmm.
Collins Mountain or whatever. I know people who went on that trail and said, yeah, I didn't find the Bigfoot. I couldn't find that Bigfoot trap. And it's just because it's not right there.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
No, I've seen pictures of it, and I saw your description that you kind of have to go down.
You have to take this little side trail to go. I'm like, going, like, that's a short little trail. It's like a mile, less than a mile to get in, and it's just a fun family event.
I didn't see Buck Rock Tunnel in here. Is it part of your...
No. Wait. Which, Buck Rock Tunnel?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know.
The unfinished railroad
yes,
tunnel.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I was just talking to somebody about that a week ago, and that's going to be, that's another, I'm not done, by the way, Jeff. I'm not done.
I was about to say, that is a hard one to find. I've failed more times than I have succeeded in finding Buck Rock, so that's a big one. So anyway, all kinds of stuff in the book is called AshlandTrails.com, the book, A Local Guide to Local Trails. It's by Jim Falkenstein. Check out his video works online because they extend far beyond trails. And he'll be at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland tonight at 7 talking about his book. Jim, thanks so much for the book, and thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.